when I went to Thailand to see, I spoke yesterday about meeting Ajahn Chah in England and how that had deeply impacted and impressed me. And then I had a very strong pull towards wanting to go to Thailand to try and be in the monastery and just explore further what the lifestyle that Ajahn Chah lived. And I had the opportunity, after about 9 months or so I was in India, I had an opportunity to go to Burma, and on the way we had to go through Bangkok to get visas to go up to Burma. And the visas were delayed, and I thought, well, this is my opportunity now. I couldn't go on my own steam because I was with a group of people that had sponsored me, so it was hard for me just to sort of trek out from the group. But as the visas were delayed, I decided that this would be my opportunity to go up to the northeast and to see Ajahn Chah. And so to do that, one has to get an overnight train from Bangkok. And my friend and I were going to go together. And while the rest of the party waited down in one of the hotels, first-class hotels in Bangkok, just swimming and laying out in the sun and chilling out from the time of the ashram in India. And when I got to the station for the overnight train, my friend arrived, and she just announced that she wasn't going to go. I said, well, what's the problem? She said, no. She said, I can't go up there. There's communists up there. And then she said, no, there's mosquitoes up there. I can't go up there. And so I said, well, you know, but I've got to go. I've just got to go and see Ajahn Chah. I'll meet you back in the hotel in a while. So I got the overnight train, and I was very nervous. Got off the next morning and then walked up to a taxi and just said, Ajahn Chah. And so he knew exactly where to take me. And eventually I found Ajahn Chah in this, not in Wat Bao Phong, but this small monastery on the Mekong River. I don't know which monastery it was. And I went in and got some offerings, went to bow, pay respects, and then he asked me about my meditation. And he said, and I told him I've been in India and I've been doing this kind of different practices, and he just said something that he said to many Westerners. He said, well, you know, you're just like you're going around everywhere, and what you really need to do is just look in one place, look in your own heart. And then he said, go off and, he didn't say go off and be with Ajahn Sumedho, it was impossible. He said, go and be with Kumpha, Meche Kumpha, who was the first Western nun ever to live in the monastery, Wat Bao Phong, on Wat Bung Wai. She was an American woman, and she spent 5 years as a Meche, which means white mother, so as a nun. And so I went off, and Kumpha was very inspired at that time. She was very devoted to Ajahn Chah. She was a very inspiring woman and a great practitioner, and I spent time with her and felt very moved to be with her. But eventually I had to leave the monastery. I didn't have, for us as women, it wasn't so easy to have the kind of intimate contact that we've heard that the men had access to, so it was more difficult. So one had to learn sort of proximity, not being able to be right close, but once removed. And so after a while I left and came back, eventually got back to England and decided to wrap up my affairs to go back to Thailand so that I could go and live in the monastery. I decided I wanted to live in the monastery. By which time Chithurst had opened. So I thought, well, I'll just go and visit Chithurst before I go back to Thailand. And of course, ended up, in the end, it wasn't necessary to go to Thailand. I could stay in Chithurst. But I always remember Kumpha being such an inspiration.